We're breaking down an ugly and offensive New York Giants 30-10 primetime loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. David Turner, former NFL scout, joins me, and boy, did he unload on the Giants. That's coming up next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day, or if you're watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. And thank you to everybody who's jumped on and subscribed. We're getting close to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Really appreciate it. And folks, here it is. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of November, a couple days before Thanksgiving. Not a lot to be thankful for if you are a New York Giant fan. The Giants losing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-10. And folks, it was ugly. There's no other way to put it. Here to help me break it down, as always, is good friend David Turner, president of MAB Sports, former NFL scout personnel guy. And David, we got a lot to go through today.
You know, it's really embarrassing that we have to go through the things we're about to go through, because it wasn't necessary. And I can't wait to go through it and just show the fans how this was so unnecessary.
Well, we've got to start with the offense. Let's get the real ugly part out of the way. And to be clear, the defense wasn't much better. And we'll get to the defense, you know, coming up. But we got to start with the offense. Now, I was looking at some video clips this morning, you know, between the offensive line, which was just a mess, between some of the decisions Daniel Jones made, and more importantly, some of the play calling and designs of the route concepts. I'm sitting here and I'm going, oh my God. There was one play in particular where the Giants had three receivers sent into a zone concept that the Bucs were running. And all three were covered, and Daniel Jones had nowhere to go with the ball. And I'm sitting there going, what in God's name are they doing? And then here's the other thing that drove me
nuts. I can tell you what they were doing, and you won't like it, but keep going.
I was going to say, the other thing that drove me crazy, the 4th-and-1. No Kadarius Toney, no Kenny Golladay on the field. You have Colin Johnson on the field and 12 personnel.
There's no need to have those guys on the field. I mean, what good would they be on the field?
Please explain this to me, David. I mean, you have a better football background than I do. Please explain to me what I saw last night on offense.
A freaking atrocious game plan is what you saw. An absolutely offensive play calling that brought like play calling back in time. About a decade or two. Okay. Like, seriously, I'll start with generals and then I'll get to the specifics. All right. In general, when they don't have Vita Vea on the damn field, you need to double team Sue the whole game. Okay. Like, mm-hmm. The whole game. Every double team, Billy Price, you and whatever guard is over Sue, that's the way you're going. Okay. That didn't happen. So who caused havoc in Daniel Jones's face all night? Adomagan Sue. So there's big mistake, big boy number one. All right. Second, I am sick and freaking tired of watching the offensive line struggle and we don't keep six in on protection. Like, good Lord, JC Almighty, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? If you got Toney, you have Evan Engram, you have Rudolph, you have Slayton, you have Golladay, you have four of those guys run routes, you have a quarterback, which makes five, and then you block with six. If those four guys cannot go win Any one of those combinations of four guys, and I didn't even mention Barkley or Booker in the route. No, we don't even have to go there, right? I'm just talking about the top four guys that we are paying the most money to go win on routes. If you can't have four of them go out into the route and one guy win, what the hell are we doing here? Because at the end of the day, your quarterback is just taking beating after beating after beating, and you're not keeping six in to help. Like, it's absolutely offensive to me as a scout and a personnel guy that you're unwilling. At this point, they're unwilling to keep six in to protect the franchise quarterback and give him a minute to make a decision. I mean, this I'm on your show, so I'm trying to behave. So this guy is young buck is dropping back. And before his foot hits a three-step drop, there's somebody coming at him. And then they want to say, oh, he didn't see this open guy over there. I'm sorry. There's a 6'5", 400-pound man in his face. No, he didn't see him. He was worried about his personal safety. Okay. Like, you have to give him a minute to figure it out. I mean, it's not, if you look at the teams that are winning consistently and often, it's the best blocking for these damn quarterbacks. All these quarterbacks, 32. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this number, but 32 damn NFL quarterbacks can make the throw. It's about giving them a minute to freaking figure it out and digest the coverage and find their open damn receiver. Okay? Now, here's the thing. All the freaking motion that is going on pre-snap is doing very little to confuse or anybody but the offense themselves. We start motioning, and then you see Daniel, no, you're supposed to be over here. No, go over here. Like, stop the damn motion. Just line up, come off the ball, turn it into what Tennessee's doing. And, like, no, not a lot of people are noticing this, but in the college game, Tennessee, Ole Miss, a few teams have brought up the tempo by snapping every 6 seconds. They're not running personnel groups on and off the field. They are just flipping formation and then lining up and within 6 seconds snapping the ball and then flip formation, set, and go. What that is doing in college football is making these defenses keep the same personnel on the field or call a timeout to get their right personnel and switch them out on the field. I don't know. Maybe that sounds like a good idea instead of all the damn motioning and then every freaking play switching personnel. Like, we're switching personnel every freaking play, which gives the defense a longer break to catch their breath. And then we're motioning. Again, they're sitting back there catching their breath. And then we snap the ball. And they're not confused because the motions are indicating and dictating the play selection we're about to play. Like, the self-scouting is being ridiculous at this point. And it's absolutely offensive for a personnel guy. I know, I've told you the story where I walked in a meeting and I told the motions were dictating what we were doing. We were getting longer yards per play without motioning. And then I walked out. I heard the damn coach go, oh, we need to motion more. That's what's going on here. We got the creative wand out like we're the fairy godmother. And we're getting more creative instead of just lining up, punching people in the mouth, and playing football. Now, that was the general version. Now go with the specific. You talked about the offensive line. Again, the protection needs to be six. Whether you're keeping a tight end or a back end, it needs to be six. You can't go about that any which way about it. And on that fourth down play, right, they were using a stack concept, which, again, in the NFL is not new to the game. Stack concepts are very easy. They went one to the flat, one on a dig, and one deep, right? All Todd Bowles had to do was roll his coverage that way. And, again, because of the motion, they knew it was coming. And so, therefore, they just rolled the coverage that way, and everybody stacked, you know, vertical down the line and got it. The one play that you really saw, and again, last night, all we saw were a lot of these stack concepts, which against a Todd Bowles defense is not going to be that successful. All right. Cause Todd understands motions and he gets tendencies really easy. I was out here in Arizona with him a long time and I personally know the man. He's extremely smart about stack concepts. What got him, remember the Rudolph play, the one damn play that he freaking threw the Rudolph? That was a vertical switch concept which stretched Todd's defense on a vertical line, and he gained like 28 yards or something on that one play. Those are the type of offensive plays that work against Todd because his defense is set up for that horizontal stack concept, slide motion stuff. And when you have a linebacker like they do, I think it's Vontae David, that SOB can fly around the field and make plays all underneath. All under. So you got to make him get his hips vertical, and then you win. But without flipping his hips and getting him vertical, and I'm sorry, you got a guy named Shaq Barkley. You don't think he could get freaking vertical up the middle? You know, you got Evan Ingram. Everyone, I say trade him. Everybody knows that. But it's past trade deadline, so now let's utilize him. You don't think he can get vertical? Okay, you got John Ross. You got Slayton. You got Galladay. You got freaking Tony. They can't get vertical? Like, they can all get flipping vertical. And you're going with these horizontal stop routes that limit their speed and difference-making ability? Like, I'm absolutely watching that game last night, losing my mind. Losing my mind. And then, like you said, you go on to a fourth and one or a fourth and two, and you don't have the field stretched out. This is a team that's on, like, their fifth and sixth DB right now. And at least you don't stretch the field by putting a two-by-two formation or a three-by-one where you got, you know, all your speedsters on the field and then, you know, open up the run game. I mean, what is going on here? I don't get it. And then you get a turnover, an interception. You get the ball at the three-yard line, which I texted you. I said, too bad they didn't freaking score on that play because I was worried that we weren't going to score from the three. And what do? We freaking, I think on first down, we ran Shaq. He got tackled. Second down, we ran Daniel, and Thomas missed the block on the linebacker. And then on third and goal, we run a tackle eligible, if I got the plays right. We ran the tackle eligible, and we make a tackle who's never had a pass in his college, high school, or pro career catch the ball when you got Rudolph, Ingram, you have Galladay, Shaq, Booker, who was completely underutilized last night, and all these guys, Tony, and we're not doing nothing with them. We're going to run a tackle eligible from the three-yard line.
Can you imagine if that play hadn't worked? Oh, my goodness.
It would have been a 3-0 game. Ugh. Or three to thirty game.
But you're right. I mean, the last night, 2 weeks they had to prepare for this game. 2 weeks, and that was the best they. It's almost like they played into the strengths of the Bucs.
Well, here's the thing: they threw 20, or they had 23 completions last night. Okay, 23 completions. The longest one went to Rudolph for 28 yards, and he only got one attempt to catch the damn ball, and he had one catch for 28 yards, which I've been barking for 9 weeks or 10 weeks now. He needs the damn ball more, and they throw it to him one damn time. Galladay got one reception for 12 yards. Ingram, two receptions for 12 yards. The longest pass reception for Tony was 8 yards. Slayton, out of his four receptions, they went for 37 yards. His longest was 21 yards. So we had two catches over 20 yards last night. The majority of them were under 10 yards. The hell are we doing? You have guys like, again, Tony, who was fast. You got John Ross, who's fast. Remember that? Was it the Dallas game? Or no, it was a New Orleans game. When we actually stretched the field and let people fly downfield, and we were like, we came on, we're like, woohoo, finally, we start to loosen up the reins a little bit. Here we go, right? Nope, we're back to under 10 yards, all these stop routes. You have speed. Like, again, I come from the Al Davis method. I'm wearing the Raiders sweatshirt this morning, right? So I come vertical stretch offense, Mutta. Like, this makes no sense right now.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies and shows all in one place. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, David, now, after that offensive, and I do mean offensive as in PU, bad, Jason Garrett, let's talk about him and where the Giants go from here. Now, after the game yesterday, Joe Judge was asked about Garrett, and instead of, you know, the usual spiel like, oh, I'm not planning any decisions at this time, didn't exactly give a vote of confidence. So I think it's probably a safe bet that some kind of change is coming. At this point, you're not going to change really the offense, I don't think, you know, the whole scheme. What can they change and what do you think might happen?
They need to change Joe Judge. I'm tired of Joe Judge.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about Joe, but offensively, because Joe's not going anywhere the rest of the season, but Joe can obviously make a decision regarding who's calling plays. So, you know,
Joe's had an opportunity for 9-10 weeks now, whatever this is, it's 10 games. So 10 weeks and a bye week. So 11 weeks plus preseason. To go to his offensive coordinator and say, A, no more damn quarterback runs. You have Booker, you have Shaq, you have Penny. You have enough people to run the dumb ball. The quarterback runs are done, okay? He has not, because even the dumb commentators last night, who I love them, by the way, Riddick and them, I like those guys. But I call everybody who's a commentator dumb commentator because I don't like most talking heads, but I do like these guys. But they even said, they're like, we were in the production meeting and Jason Garrett said that Daniel Jones is going to have to buck up and make some plays because, you know, we need him in the run game. If your offensive coordinator in his head is saying we need the quarterback to be successful in the run game for us to win this game, as a head coach, you're a poor leader because you needed to take that out of his head. You needed to go to your offensive coordinator and say, listen, Bubba, we're done with the quarterback runs. If he scrambles, he scrambles. Like, that's the way the game goes, okay? But if it's a fourth and one and we need him to do a QB sneak, that's the game. I understand those calls. But if you go and design another quarterback run when we have everybody healthy right now, I'm going to fire you. But that hasn't been said. Why? Because we still see this and we still see the mindset in the production meeting saying, we need the quarterback to be successful in the run game for us to win this game. No, you don't. You got plenty of people out there to run the damn ball. You got Tony on Z fly sweeps. You got freaking Penny. You got Shaq Barkley back. You got Booker, who was a stud when Shaq was not there. Like, the frick are we doing? You got all these weapons, but yet the key to success is running a damn quarterback? That's why
not I say that offensive line.
Right, and that's why I said Joe Judge needs to go, because the mindset isn't being changed in his staff to switch what needs to be switched. We could talk about Jason Garrett all day, and I'll talk to you about him. You know I will. I'm not scared. But what I'm saying is the mindset, attitude reflects leadership, right? The leadership and mindset isn't correct in order to win, because even when you get to, at the end of the first half, you got two timeouts. And you had, like, I think they got the ball back with 37 or 38 seconds. And you have two timeouts, plus you're getting the ball coming out of halftime. And you accepted the very first play call from your coordinator to be a screen on play one. Like, we're not pushing the ball. We're not even trying to get a field goal. It's 17 to 10. If we go down, get a field goal, which 30% of our offensive scoring has come from field goal team, by the way. If we don't drive the ball downfield and get into field goal, we're not even going to try it. We're going to accept the first play call is a screen, and then you don't call a timeout after that. You run a second play, but you call a timeout with 9 seconds to go in the half. The flip is going on. Now, Jason Garrett, again, your mindset needs to be one of an attacking mindset. You know, you're a three-win team. throw caution to the wind and let's go. Like, let the young buck's arm take the chain off it. Let it go. Go get it to go live. Let's go. But no, we're going to throw a bunch of balls under 10 yards. We're going to chop wood and get downfield. We're going to, you know, we'll get into field goal range and that'll be good enough. Graham will get us a field goal. BS. Like, I know I'm over aggressive. I know myself. I'm 46 years old. I'm not dumb about who I am. But at the same time, man, like, if I was, this is probably why Gettleman doesn't let me in the building, because I'd be in there just livid this morning. Like, I would have got the call, stay home today. I don't even want to see you in the office, because your face will tell them all what you're thinking. And as soon as they say boo to you, you're going to go off. And I'm like, exactly, because it's flipping ridiculous what I'm witnessing for 10 weeks over there.
Yeah. So the point now is Judge has to make a change, I would think. And they're not going to change up the scheme, the overall scheme. They're going to maybe change up maybe some of the concepts. So that would, you know, our guess is Freddie Kitchens is going to be the guy, you know, which I know you're not a big fan of. I know you are not a big fan of Freddie Kitchens taking over the play calling, but I could see that maybe happening. That said, what can Freddie do differently? I mean, besides everything, I guess. But I mean, how can this offense, how much can it change given that, you know, we're now what, going into week 12? You're not going to throw everything out and start from scratch. So where do they go from here? And is a change in play caller going to make that much of a difference, do you think?
It can infuse some energy when you have a new play caller. Okay. But I'm looking at the offensive staff right now. I'm just like, let me take a look at who, you know, to make sure I know who it is. I don't really know many of these people here. I mean, I don't know them anymore. There's just not a group of men I've worked with. Okay. But I've watched Freddie Kitchens for many years. I'm not a fan of his play calling, his execution, his concepts. Okay. So that's why. And again, I'm not, this is not a personality conflict here. This is an absolute, I don't like how he calls offense. I don't. And it's not somebody I think has a good rapport with players. I don't think he treats them with respect. And that's what we saw in Cleveland. And that's why he saw the door so quickly in Cleveland. Okay. If I'm a guy who's giving play calling duties up and I don't know Jerry, the quarterback coach, but that's who I would probably go with. I would say, hey, you know the quarterback well. You're his guy. I want to get him plays he's comfortable with. You've obviously been having these conversations about plays he likes. Now I want you to develop this game plan and, you know, become the, you know, the play caller. That's the way I would go. Now I know coach has a really comfortable feeling and, you know, place with Freddie. I'm just not a Freddie guy. And understand anybody who's listening, it's just I've watched Freddie for a lot of years, and what I've always questioned why he's raised up the ranks. And then I realized people just like him. He's a very likable guy. He's a very personable guy. But I think when you watch what his concepts are in him playing, he might have some success in week one of him play calling or week one and two. But then after that, the defensive coordinators are going to dial in. His concepts are not complicated. You know, you saw what the Cleveland coach did last year when he stepped in with the same personnel groups that Freddie had, and they had an amazing year. Now this year they've had a rash of injuries over there, and Baker is playing completely, you know, piecemeal together with his shoulders and everything. So he's not throwing the ball well. And I was amazed that he was taking heat this morning for his comments, but I'm like, dude, this guy is playing under some immense pain, and yet you're going to go bash him. Great. Love American media. But get back on the Giants. Freddie is, you know, again, same group of people. And they're having success. They went to the playoffs last year. They were, you know, hot on a hot roll going in the playoffs. And it was the same group. They didn't make huge changes. So for me, Freddie might come in and break a couple tendencies week one. But down the line, reality, it's just going to be the same Freddie's concept. So I'd go to Jerry and I'd tell Jerry, you and the quarterback need to kind of get together what they like, what he likes. And let's sit down and do this and figure it out.
Mm. seems like there's really no answer. I mean, Joe's going to, if he's back next year, which I think he will be, he's going to have to basically shake up that staff, because not just on the offensive side, we'll talk about defense in just a second, but defense. But, you know, before we move to the defense, one other point I want to bring up, and I don't know if you saw this or were bothered by this. I know I was. I saw in a few plays some lackluster efforts here and there. You know, Saquon Barkley on that Andrew Thomas touchdown, the pass pro that he provided was, I don't know what the heck that was, but that was not a very good job because Daniel was rushed. Kenny Golladay had, barely threw a block. I think it was on a Kadarius Toney reception. On defense, James Bradbury, I lost track of how many missed tackles he had. I think there were at least two. I mean, there were some effort issues, I thought, in last night's game. Did you see that as well?
Effort reflects leadership. Attitude reflects leadership, right? That's why I keep saying, Joe, I'm done with you. If you listen to the shows when we first started, when Patricia and I started the series early, I was defending you. I was in your corner. I was like, hey, you know what? Let's go, Joe. I like how you finished last year. Let's get it. I'm done. Because you've had ample enough time to infuse your personality, if it was strong and pragmatic, whatever you want to call it, you would have done it by now. And if this is the attitude we're getting on the players, it's from frustration. Players react to frustration in themselves, their play time, their play calls, whatever. Like, when you have the ball, when you're Shaq Barkley and you're coming back, you're hurt. Like, that man played hurt last night, okay? But I'm going to come in and I'm going to play for my team. I'm going to be here. And it's a freaking first and three at the goal line, and you're not dialing me up three straight plays to let me get this touchdown for my team and let me be the guy. We're going to throw a ball to a tackle. And that's not putting confidence in me, saying I can't get this touchdown, so we got to dial up a tackle eligible because I can't get the. These are ego men. They are prideful men. And if you're not putting the confidence in them to say I can't get you that freaking touchdown, he's like, yeah, okay, I'll go block this guy, whatever. And Golladay, same thing. How much are you paying Golladay? And he got one reception for 12 yards. One reception for Shaq Barkley caught six balls and ran the ball six times. He touched the ball 12 times. Golladay touched the ball once.
Actually, I think he got two targets, but he only made one reception.
Right. But I'm saying, but he touched
still,
the ball.
Still, that's not once. A lot. Yeah.
Like I told you, what was it, 2 weeks ago or last show? If you have a 60-play offensive series, right, or offensive plays, the run game should be touching the ball 25 times. That leaves you, you know, what, 35 more plays, right? In those 35 plays, your tight ends should get the ball thrown to them at least 10 times. Your top receiver should each get, you know, at least seven targets. Like Tony got seven targets. They were all small, short ones. I don't think the kind of play calls were good for Tony. I think some of them were, but he had to make some amazing cuts and jukes to make some yards because, you know, they were behind line of scrimmage. Those were his opportunities, most of them. But Slayton got four. Golladay got two targets. He should be 7 to 10 targets. We're paying him for a 7 to 10 target type person. You know, we're not paying him to be a two target guy. And if your offensive coordinator can't dial those up and make sure those are happening, what are we doing? And how much, again, if you're Joe Judge, are you sitting in the meetings and saying, okay, what do we have this week for Golladay? What do we have this week for Tony? What do we have this week for Slayton? What do we have this week for Rudolph? What do we have this week for Ingram? Okay, how are we going to get Barkley his runs? Like, what are those meetings sounding like right now? And are you just leaving it alone and letting them figure it out on their own? Like, I don't get it. I really don't understand the play calling, the division in targets, the division in plays. I'm confused and dismayed because you have this team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with 40 seconds in the first half at in two timeouts. You had them 10-17. You had them. And you didn't take an aggressive play calling ability to shoot the ball down the middle of the field, knowing you had two timeouts, so the whole field was open, middle of the field, outside, whatever you wanted. Whole field was open to try to get Graham a 60-yarder or a 55-yard field goal to attempt at the end of the first half as time runs off the clock and maybe go into halftime 17-13 and come out half with the ball to where you have a chance to go up 20-17 on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that's the mindset. And those choices need to be one of aggressive play calling. And we're not seeing it. And so for me, I'm just dumbfounded. And you want to get into the end of the game really quick before we switch to defense? 7 minutes to go in the game. 7 minutes to go in the game. And you're down 20. And you had a 4th-and-5 at like the 35 or 38 yard line. And you decide to punt the ball. You're down 20. So it's not unheard of. You got 7 minutes. If you convert that 4th-and-5 and you go down and score, now you're at 17 points to 30. You're in two scores with, say, 5 minutes to go. Defense stops. You get the ball back. The mathematics isn't done yet. What do? They punt the ball. What does Tampa Bay do? They know the fight and the dog is done. They put the backup quarterback in. They take their starters off the field with 7 minutes to go because they know the fight and the dog across the field is done. With 7 minutes to go in the game. See, those are the kinds of things, if I'm John Mara, that I'm up in the box throwing one of my fits. I'm throwing trash cans. I'm like, we got 7 minutes to go in this game, and you just tossed the towel so hard from the corner that our opponent – brought in the backup quarterback, the backup receivers, the backup tight ends, the backup running backs. Like, they didn't even play Giovanni Bernard. They went to the 4th freaking running back. Like, Ronald Jones, Gio Bernard weren't even playing. They put him on the bench too. They brought in some guy that I never heard of in my life. Like, I hadn't even seen him on special teams all night, and he's running the ball with 7 minutes to go in a game. So, yeah, attitude reflects leadership. When decisions like that are being made, the players are like, why should I play hard? Why should I play hurt? Why should I come back hard and play for this team when we're making decisions with 7 minutes to go where you didn't believe I can convert a 4th-and-5 with Galladay, Slayton, Tony, Ingram. Rudolph was out by that point because he got hurt. Ross, Barkley, Booker. I mean, I'm naming all these skill position players that can convert a 4th-and-5. And no, we're going to punt it. We're done. We're going to go home.
All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's show. But first, have you checked out Built Bar? Available in 9 amazing flavors, plus a rotating selection of limited time offerings in nut and nut-free varieties. There's sure to be a flavor that will strike your fancy. Built Bar is the perfect choice for a low-carb, low-sugar, and high-protein treat that will satisfy your sweet tooth. Covered in real milk chocolate, it's like eating a candy bar without the guilt. And for a limited time, visit BuiltBar.com and get 15% off your first order with your promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast. But first, BetOnline is back and better than ever, offering a new web interface featuring more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Head to their updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code Locked On. No matter what sport you're into, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, let's talk about the defense because, look, the defense had a hand in this as well. No pass rush, all right? The plan, I think, from what I could tell, Graham was trying to keep everything in front of the defense, which is not a bad plan, but Dyke Namit, you better get home with a pass rush. And they just weren't getting any pressure whatsoever. Now, granted, the Bucs have a very good offensive line, but they did lose Ali Marpet early in the game. And I don't know what was going on, but the Giants weren't even getting within sniffing distance of Tom Brady. And then you had some tackling issues. James Bradberry had another, you know, yicky type of game. What the heck's going on with that defense, and how can they get this fixed?
Stop being passive. You know my answer, because I've been saying it for weeks now. Blitz. Live and die by the sword. Live and die by the sword. You're a 3-win team. You got no downside. You are at the bottom. You are risking your job. And Graham, in case you missed it, coming into the season, you were one of the hottest coaches for potential head coaching jobs this year. You're not on that list no more. And you know what's doing it? Sitting back in your dumb cover two and sitting back in umbrella defenses and then trying and betting that when you get into the red zone, you'll keep them out of the touchdowns. That's what's killing you, because that defense is awful. You give up a ton of yards, and then you make, okay, well, when we get into the red zone, though, we're going to have one of the best red zone defenses. We're going to just rush three and drop eight and flood the area where they can't go and find holes. How'd that work for you? You lost by 20 last night, Bubba. Okay? You lost by 20. So I know you only gave up two touchdowns or whatever it was, but at the same time, you lost by 20. So I'm going to go with it's not looking too good. Yeah, you only gave up one rushing touchdown, and you gave up two passing touchdowns, one to Evan, one to good one. So three touchdowns and then three field goals. So with six trips to the red zone, these guys scored on you. It's not good for the resume. How do they fix this? But again, the back end's got a ton of injuries, right? They didn't have Logan. They don't have Peppers. I understand that. But at this point in the season, there's not many healthy teams. Let's be honest. Okay. So everybody's dealing with them. We're all playing on the same thing. We're not going to give you that excuse, because again, you're coming off a bye week, and I know you're planning on Logan playing, and he got Corona on Friday. So, you know, it is what it is, right? But at the end of the day, that's what you get paid the big bucks for. You know, it's what you get paid the big bucks for. And not having the back end doesn't mean you can't blitz and put pressure on the front. I'm sorry. If you get Tom Brady off his spot more often than him sitting on it, you're going to win ball games. People in this year have already proven that. You got to get his feet moving, and you got to get him, you know, you got to get him off his spot. They didn't do that last night. They were a lot of times. Again, you got Ojulari, who has been having a fantastic rookie season, and you're dropping him into coverage and stuff. Like, that's not his game, man. Like, that's stupidity right there. Get the four horsemen, put their hands on the ground, and let them get upfield. Like, let them go. At least rush four. Mug the A gaps and make them try to figure out which way you're coming from. Walk six or seven up and say, okay, four are coming, but you don't know which four. Or five are coming, you don't know. But when you sit back and you literally have three people with their hands on the ground and everybody else is 2 yards off the ball, they know three are coming, nobody else is coming. It's obvious. So keep it up, Graham. Doing good, Papa. I'm tired of it all. I'm tired of
five versus three. You've got five offensive linemen to block three defensive pass rushers.
Right.
I'm sorry, but the math doesn't favor you.
And then you want to talk about effort. Well, if I'm one of those three off defensive linemen, and I know it's up to me for 80% of the pass rushes to get home, and I'm not getting any help with blitzes or somebody kind of trying to free me up, you know, or too many schemes being run, how much effort can I give you every play? Like, you know, that's just a lot to ask.
Beating your head against the wall.
Yeah. Like, help me help you. Help me help you. Help me help you. Help me help you. You know, it's like you got to be able to do this stuff, and they don't. And it drives me bat crazy because I thought I was on my show for a second. But it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And again, when you're a 3-win team, throw caution into the wind, blitz every damn down. Like, just say, okay, we're going to be Billy Badass for the next, you know, 5-6 weeks. What do we got? We got 7 more games to go. There's 10 games. There's 7 more games to go. We're going to roll up coverage, and we're going to play press, and we're going to blitz. What harm can you do? You lost by 20 last night. What are you going to lose by, 27? Oh, no, we lost by an extra touchdown. But guess what? That team that leaves the field is going to remember they played the New York Giants. You're a lot more physical that way.
And the Bucs, for what it's worth, I mean, I thought the Bucs, yes, they were the better team, but I thought they were beatable last night. I mean, I really thought they would be beatable. You know, the banged up secondary, not having Vita Vea in there. I was incurred. And you know, we all know Tom Brady hates to be hit or pressured or moved off his spot. I thought they could put together something. I figured, okay, they've had 2 weeks, you know, they're coming off of they've won 2 of their last 3. I will never drink that Kool-Aid again for the rest of the season. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert, those of you who read me and watch me here, I'm not picking the Giants the rest of the season. I cannot, in all good faith. I just can't.
Well, look, it again, we talk about in-game coaching and adjustments, right? And how the Giants are awful at it. We've talked about it the whole year. At halftime, it was 17-10. And the Giants had the ball coming out of halftime. They went 3 and out, and boom, here come Tom Brady. They got Tom Brady and them got a turnover late. You know, the defense gave up 30 points, but the offense did bupkis in the second half. They didn't make any adjustments in the second half. So, again, we saw Todd Bowles and his defense go into the locker room. What are they doing? Tell me what they're doing. Okay, let's start running some more of this. Let's do that. Okay, cool. Tom Brady and his staff and Leftwich go in the locker room. Hey, what are we seeing? Okay, let's run this. And within 7 minutes of the game being over, the Giants retired the game. That's more upsetting to me to see that punt. Well, how they finished the half, I was hot. I was hot because I was like, this is passive crap playing that we get the ball coming out of halftime. Like, you got a chance to go up after halftime, not tie it, like go up. If you just get down there and get a field goal and you have the timeouts and you had the freaking whole field open. And you have your playmakers healthy. Like, for a couple weeks, we're like, man, Daniel ain't got nobody to throw to. Man, you know, everybody's hurt. Man, you couldn't say that last night. Thomas was back at left tackle. Shaq was in the game. Barkley was on the bench. Booker was on the bench, which made no sense. And then you had Evan and Rudolph and, you know, everybody there except for Shepard, right? Everybody was at the party. Shepard was the only one at home with a cold. So, I mean, I know he's got a quad. I was just joking, okay? But I'm just saying, like, everybody else was at the party, and we couldn't take those last 40 seconds and push the ball vertically down the field trying to get Graham a kick. So we go to halftime at 13-17 and then come out of half and maybe drive the field again and get another kick even. Now we're at 16-17. We're in a point of Tampa Bay before they get the ball back in the second half, in the third quarter. God forbid we score a touchdown. We go up 20-17 on them before they can touch the ball again. I mean, this is the type of mindset in which people don't understand in the NFL. Like, you have the ability before your opponent gets the ball back with 40 seconds to go in the first half, you have the ability to absolutely get a score, come out of half, get another score, and put your opponent's heels on the ball. Like, you got it. It's in your hands, and you didn't take it. You chose. These are choices. Play calls are choices. You chose to be passive. And now, defensively, you know, again, I need them to blitz more. I need them to, again, don't drop Ojulari. Bring him. Because he either will create a hold penalty or he will create some havoc, you know, with Leonard, with Lawrence, with all those guys that got up front. I thought Danny Shelton played a good game last night. The big boy came in and played a good game. You know, I think the D-line coach has got those guys dialed up as much as he can, but he doesn't control play calling. And without some blitzing, those guys are getting worn out.
Yeah. Bad situation here. And, of course, the Giants on Sunday, they have the Philadelphia Eagles, who are red hot right now. Michael Strahan day, but you know what? I hate to say it. I'd be surprised if there's going to be a lot of Giant fans in the seats, even with the long overdue retirement of Michael Strahan's jersey. I mean, just final thoughts, David. I know that, let's not even talk playoffs, because just that was just a pipe dream. And I think everybody realizes that now. But what can they, when you look at the remaining schedule, are there winnable games here that they can pull out if they get their act together on the coaching aspect of it? Because right now, that to me is the biggest problem with this team. The coaching has regressed so badly that I almost don't recognize this as being the same staff as last year that I was so high on.
I'm with you. I'm very, you know, when we started, I was very high on this. I was excited. I had friends tell me I was overexcited and they're being proven right. I'm being proven wrong. You know, but when it comes to the Giants, the Raiders, and some of my teams I've worked for before, I get rosy red glasses and I get excited, right? And here's the thing. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-3. The Eagles are 5-6, right? So with 7 games to go, right, you're really not out of it. And that's the terrible thing in your division, because now that you have 17 weeks and you're at 10 games played, 7 games to go, right? When you're the Dallas Cowboys, let's say they got 7 more games too. Let's say they win 4 of them. They're at 11, right? If the Giants were to rattle off 6 wins, they'd be at 9. They would be literally 9-8. They'd be breaking the 50-50 route, right? You might, and again, the NFC as a conference is not stellar. That 9-win season could backdoor into the playoffs. But that's going to take a monumental effort at this point, which I don't see, like you, we don't see, if I can speak for both of us, we don't see happening because of the coaches are not going back into the lab. They just had a bye week and they didn't come out of the lab with a win. They didn't come out with an impressive game plan. Like, we're not sitting here going, man, they played so good in that game plan. But, damn, Tom Brady just got him on that last drive, you know? Like, we're not saying that. With 7 minutes to go, Tom Brady was out of the game. Yeah. And I'm gonna beat that horn, because people need to understand that is the most offensive thing in the world. Like, that's complete disrespect for a football, man, to take your starting quarterback, your starting running back, your starter receivers off the field with 7 minutes to go in the game. That's like what you do in preseason, you know? And they did it here in the 10th game of the season. They knew the fight and the dog was done. They were not scared of a comeback from the New York Football Giants after that punt with 7 minutes to go. Okay. Now, you asked if there's winnable games. The Eagles are completely winnable. You run the ball on the Eagles, keep their offense on the sideline, you can win that game. Your defense needs to be one in which, you know, again, a cover 2 defense works in this situation, plays into Graham's what he likes to play. It is winnable. I'm not overly impressed with the Eagles because they don't run the ball well. You know, I wish they ran the ball better. They have some good backs there who I like. But the way they use them in their offense is terrible. So, you know, you're going up against a bad coaching staff, even though they have some decent players. So this is totally winnable. Dolphins game the following week, totally winnable. Then you got the Chargers, who are struggling right now. They came out 4-1, you know, and now they're at 6-4. So that's a game that's going to be a struggle. They got a home game, like you said, this weekend, two road games going to Miami and then going out west to the Chargers. And they come back home and they play the Cowboys. And again, if they're a three-win team still playing the Cowboys at that point, watch those players quit. Dak will be out at halftime. You know, it won't even be close at that point, you know. And then you got the Eagles again. So, again, you got a winnable game later, and then you finish the year out with the Bears. So the reality is, think about it. They have the 5-6 Eagles, the 4-7 Dolphins, the 6-4 Chargers, 7-3 Cowboys, 5-6 Eagles again, and 3-7 Bears. They have up, and I think the Chargers are beatable, even though, you know, it'll give them trouble, it'll be a tough game. The only game that I don't see them winning or having the talent to win right now is the Cowboys game. The rest of these games are winnable. They're absolutely winnable. They don't have a tough schedule the rest of the way. And again, even if they drop Chargers and they drop Dallas, that's five more wins they can rack up to be 8-9 at the end of the season. Again, I hope that doesn't save jobs, because that's not what we're about at the New York Giants, right? But at the same time, you can at least get to 8-9 if you want to at this point. I think you can get 9-8. I really think you can turn the corner and get to 9-8. But you just have to show up and utilize all your weapons on offense and get more aggressive on defense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hopefully. And put the creativity fairy in the closet where she belongs.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. You know, I'm sitting here and I know I've been like kind of grinning and everything like that, but what are you going to do at this point? I mean, I can sit here and I can use more facial muscles and create more wrinkles for myself by just frowning and scoffing, but another lost season, you know, not. Look, I look at it this way. I know a lot of people are down right now, but be thankful you have hopefully your health. If you're out there, hopefully everybody's healthy and your loved ones. I mean, Giants, just one day, I think they'll be good. When, I don't know. Will it be in my lifetime? I don't know. I hope so. But I do think change is coming. It's going to be interesting to see. And this week, short work week, it's going to be very interesting to see what Joe Judge does, if he, you know, because he doesn't have a whole lot of time to really sit and think things through. So
anyway, he had David, a lot of time on the bye week and he didn't get it right.
I know. That's why I'm like, if you were going to make a change, you should have done it 2 weeks ago. But, you know, should have, would have, could have, didn't. That's what I always say. So, all right, David, great stuff. Very fired up conversation, which I knew it would be. And those are always... they're always fun, whether win or lose, they're always fun. So I thank you for, as always, for the great insight. I think you raised a lot of great points. So I appreciate it. And Giant fans, appreciate you for tuning in. I know it's not fun reading or listening about a loss, but I still appreciate those of you who tuned in. We'll do our Twitter mailbag tomorrow, because Thursday we'll have the crossover show. Friday, no show, because I'm taking Thanksgiving off. So I'm not taping on Thanksgiving Day. Sorry, guys. So, and then next time we'll see you on Monday. David will be back with me and we'll break down the Eagles game, Michael Strahan Day. Hopefully the Giants will at least show up and put a better effort forward on Michael Strahan Day. So until tomorrow, Giant fans, thank you so much for tuning in. For David Turner, I'm Patricia Traina, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.